What a joy it is for me to get to visit with this congregation today. We have been so richly blessed, and what a privilege it was to see the installation of two additional elders to serve this church and to be out with the leaders of this congregation at mealtime today, and then to enjoy the session we had at 4 o'clock this afternoon. It's just been a delightful day. I like your preacher. Of course, I'd heard about him before, but I've certainly learned to appreciate him more and to respect him. He dealt with me in every way, in just a magnificent way, giving me every bit of information. I know I went somewhere in Tennessee and to preach, and the advertisement had been on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper that Brother Jenkins will be here next Sunday, and that's all the advertisement and all the effort. And I got up to right before to speak, and the man said, "We were really surprised. We didn't think Brother Jenkins was going to be here till tonight." But that certainly has not been the case. I have two sons that are gospel preachers. Dale, some of you may know Dale, preaches not too far away. And then Jeff, who preaches for the church in Lewisville, Texas. And I remember when Jeff was a little boy, somebody came and rang our doorbell and said, "Is your father home?" And Jeff said, "No, sir, he is not here." And he said, "Well, where is he? Is he at work?" And Jeff said, "My father doesn't work. He's a preacher." And I've reminded Kirk and my boys of that story quite a number of times. But it is a magnificent work, and I try to encourage as many young men as we possibly can. It's a great and marvelous work. It's not a work where, you know, where you're your own living your own life, so to speak, but your life is dedicated to others. But it is indeed a great and marvelous work. It's been a delight to be here today, and thank you for coming and being with us at our session this evening. I preached in Chicago several years ago in a short meeting up there, and we had a good crowd on Sunday morning, Sunday night about half that number, and I think we finally got down to about 25 before the meeting was over. And there's not much that will discourage a preacher any more than to preach to empty pews, so I'm glad we have a good representation tonight. I know many of you have read the story about two young boys that broke into a department store. And they pulled a prank, they thought. They didn't steal a single item out of that department store, but they simply went about and they switched the price tags on everything that they could as time permitted. And you can imagine the next morning when that store opened, when customers found diamond rings for sale for $10, shaving cream for $300, a pocket calculator for $500, an umbrella for $1,000, a gold necklace for $5. I think we live in a world where, to a very great degree, price tags have been switched. What should be important today is often considered very trivial. And what should be considered as secondary is often considered as primary. And I think this is especially true of the Lord's church. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has to buy that field." Again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. And when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it." You know, the Gospel of Matthew records 9 parables that are in no other of the Gospel narratives. All of those parables are about the church, are about the kingdom. Today I want us to think about, or tonight I want us to think a little bit concerning these two parables that our Lord told, and to draw some lessons from them. Number one, I want us to be reminded that the church of our Lord is of very great value. He said that the kingdom is like a treasure hidden in a field. By the way, when he uses the word kingdom, he's referring, of course, to the church. The word church and kingdom used interchangeably in such passages as Matthew 16, 18, and 19, and Revelation chapter 1, 5, and 6, compared to verse number 9, and many other citations that could be given. But he said that the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hidden in a field. And a man found that, and he went and sold everything he had, and he came and bought that particular treasure. It does no one any good to find a great treasure unless he knows what that treasure is actually worth. There was a man by the name of Stan Caffey who was preparing for married life, and he and his new bride-to-be cleaned out their respective garages. They donated everything they possibly could to Goodwill. Kathy and his soon-to-be wife got rid of all kinds of assorted clothing and bicycles and tools and computer parts and ragged copy of the Declaration of Independence. It had been there in his garage for some 10 years. What had been trashed to Stan turned into a treasure. For a man by the name of Michael Sparks, when he saw that rare copy of the Declaration of Independence that came from the year 1823, bought it for about $2.50, $2.49 to be exact, and later he auctioned it off for $477,650. When the former owner, Kathy, was asked what he thought about the situation, he was quoted as saying, "I'm happy for this Sparks guy. If I had it, it would still be hanging in my garage, and I still would not know its value at all." Beloved, I believe that sometimes we underestimate the value of the Lord's church. Perhaps there are young people here today that do not realize the great value of the Lord's church. Maybe some were reared in Christian homes, but they just some way or another did not understand the great value of the Lord's church. And there are often those of us who have seen bad things happen in churches. I've seen bad things happen in churches. I was not at this particular meeting when one of the elders picked up a chair and threw it at another elder. But sometimes there are bad things that happen within the Lord's church. And of course, that kind of structure spreads like wildfire throughout the congregation. And you may have seen political wranglings within the leaders of the Lord's church, even to the point that the church of our Lord, some went one way and some went another way. I remember several years ago, Brother Flavel Nichols and I were invited to come out because the church was having a fuss. And we went to try to resolve the problem. Some of them wanted to keep the preacher and some wanted to fire him. And the group that wanted to keep the preacher was up in the upstairs, and Brother Nichols met with them, and I met with the group that wanted to fire him downstairs. And then after about 30 minutes or maybe an hour or so, we swapped, and I came upstairs, and he went downstairs. We had a great service that night. It lasted on and on and on, and finally everybody was in unity and agreement. We all had a prayer together, and went home. I got home about 2 a.m., I told my wife, "Well, there are a lot of things that I haven't done right in life, but this is one time that I really spent some time wisely for the Lord's kingdom." How saddened I was to learn the next Sunday morning the church split right down the middle and formed two congregations of the Lord's people. We've seen bad things sometimes. And when people see those kinds of things happen in congregations, many conclude that it's what the church is all about, and they certainly want no part of it. I know sometimes gossip and ill report, falsehoods, damage the church of our Lord. I've met all of those individuals out there that had a bad view of the church, But their bad view was upon their part. But sometimes there are things that actually happen within the church of our Lord. Jesus said the kingdom holds so much value that it is worth every sacrifice that we might have to make. It is a treasure that has been hidden in a field. Secondly, I would recommend to you and suggest to you, it is a treasure that requires a great sacrifice. The man who found the treasure and the man who found the pearl, they sold everything they had. And they did not think that it was a bad deal. And they did not think of it even as a sacrifice when they sold everything. In fact, the Bible says in verse 44 that it was with joy that they sold all that they had. The man who found the pearl had already sacrificed. Just as in his search for the pearl, a pearl hunting requires a great deal of danger. You don't just walk along the beach and find a pearl. I know we all look for those as we travel along the beaches, if there are any oysters out there. But back in Jesus' day, a pearl diver would try a large rock to his body, because they did not have scuba gear. And he would jump over the side of a little boat, and he would allow the weight of the rock to carry him down to the oyster bed. And he was in danger of sharks and of eels and other creatures. And he would, of course, try to stay under as long as he could. And all the while he was holding his breath, he was hoping that he would not drown, and he was looking for that pearl. One in a thousand of those oysters would contain a pearl, and he was looking for that one. Pearls in Jesus' day were like diamonds in our day. The Jewish Talmud said pearls are beyond price. The Egyptians actually worshiped pearls, and it was carried over into the Roman Empire. But one must know the value of the treasure, that it is worth the sacrifice. Otherwise, we will overlook its great value. I read about a certain man, and he gave a lot of money for a nickel. I preached this sermon one other time, and I reached in my pocket to hold up a nickel to use it as an illustration, and I had forgotten to put a nickel in my pocket. I mentioned that. At the second service that Sunday morning, I had five nickels that were given. I have a nickel today, so nobody needs to give me a nickel. But a man by the name of Ed Smith paid $3 million for a nickel. He knew the value of a nickel. It was what was called the Miss Liberty nickel. It was actually minted in the year 1913. The Liberty head nickels with the statue of the Liberty monument on them were minted from 1883 to 1912. But in 1913, it was replaced with a buffalo nickel. However, five Liberty head nickels were illegally minted, and possibly by a mint official. And the coins surfaced in 1920. And when Ed Smith came across one of those, he recognized its value. He paid $3 million for it. Later, he sold it for $4.15 million, and he retired on the profits that he had made. Well, this story makes me think, of course, of the church. Our Lord placed a great value upon the church and the value of that church. He said it's like a bride, a precious bride to Him. He loved her so much, He was willing to go to Golgotha to purchase her, and He wanted her to be spotless, prepared for the day of the wedding that He would have with her. He wanted the church not just another organization. And the church is not like just the Lions Club or the Rotary Club or the Boy Scouts or the Garden Club or the Fitness Center or some neighborhood association. All of these groups, they are perhaps very useful indeed, but they pale in comparison with what our Lord thought about the church and what we need to think about the church of the living God. As valuable as they are, some of these organizations, they cannot begin to compare with the church of our Lord. And yet I've seen members of the Lord's family who were willing to make sacrifices financially and of their time and yet would not think about giving that kind of donation or that kind of time for the church of the living God. I've known those mothers who would be sure that that child never missed a single ball game, who did not even so much as come on Wednesday night or perhaps Sunday night. Lessons from these parables are indeed very great. Both of these parables tell us about the incomparable value of the church. The pearl is especially appropriate because the figure of the kingdom is the only gem that I know about that cannot be improved by man. You think about it, all the other jewels have to be cut, they have to be polished by a skilled craftsman before they have any value. But when it comes to the pearl, that gemstone is valuable just like it is found. In fact, it cannot be improved upon by cutting it or polishing it. And whenever a person, a human being, begins to try to alter or to change that pearl, it is made worthless. The pearl is an especially appropriate symbol for the kingdom of God because the kingdom is a divine institution designed by the perfect God from throughout eternity. You remember Daniel said in Daniel chapter 2 that when this kingdom was established that it would endure forever and forever. And we are living proof of that as we sit in this assembly even tonight. And it cannot be changed. And whenever we try to change it or alter it in any way and think of all the changes that men have attempted to make, and yet they diminished it in value rather than making it more valuable. The kingdom of our Lord involves sacrifice. And that's where we're involved tonight. It involves some sacrifice. Have you ever had anything that you just thought you had to have? Maybe as a child it was a special bicycle or even before that a tricycle. Maybe as a boy you threw papers in order to purchase that bicycle that you just had to have. You gave up candy and you gave up going to the movies so that you would have enough money just to get that bicycle. And maybe as you grew older, it was an automobile. Not like parents today so often who are able to give their children automobiles, but more like in my culture. When I was a young boy turning 16 years of age, and my mom and dad did not have the money to buy me an automobile, and I remember working and working and working and giving up because there was something that I wanted. There is a cost in our redemption. There's a cost in being a member of this great kingdom. And that cost is the cost of commitment. On one occasion, one man said, "Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus responded by saying, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Here is the price. If you're going to follow me, you'll have to give up your comforts. And I'll give you my kingdom. There's a cost involved in being a follower of Jesus Christ. And our Lord wants us to understand that. And these two men in the parable that Jesus told, they had to sacrifice to gain the treasure. And we also must be willing to make a sacrifice. Jesus said that we must be willing to put the kingdom first in our life and to give in order that we might obtain this great treasure. The kingdom is a source of joy. Notice what Jesus said to the man that found this treasure. "For joy over it goes and sells all that he has." The man didn't just sell everything he had, but he did it with great joy. He didn't regret it. He didn't complain all the time about the efforts that had to be made. Sometimes there are members of the Lord's church that it appears to me they understand the value of the church, but they are always complaining about the church and about the time involved and the effort involved. But notice these men, they did this with great joy. What a joy it is to be a member of the kingdom of our Lord. No wonder the Apostle Paul said that the things that were counted gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed I also count all things for loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Philippians chapter 3. Did Paul make a sacrifice to follow Jesus?
Certainly he did. But the joy so outweighed that sacrifice that he made that he did not even consider it anything like a sacrifice. I read about two wealthy Christians, a lawyer and a merchant, who traveled with a group, and they went around the world while they were in Korea. They saw a man by the side of the road in a field. They stopped on the side and they watched this man. The boy was pulling a crude plow, and the old man held the plow handle and was guiding the plow along. The lawyer was amused by that. He got out of his automobile. He took a snapshot of the scene. He turned to the local missionary who served as their interpreter and guide, and he said, "That's a curious picture. I suppose they're very poor." And the guide said, "Yes, that's the family of Chinu. When the place of worship was being built, they were eager to give something, but they had no money. And so they sold their only ox, and they gave the money to the church. And this spring, they are pulling the plow for themselves." Somebody made that kind of sacrifice to you, for you and for me to be in magnificent buildings like we enjoy tonight. Well, these men were silent for several moments, and then the businessman replied, "It must have been a real sacrifice." And the guide said, "They do not call it that. They thought that they were fortunate to have an ox to sell." Oh, how much we need that kind of concept today when it comes to the church of our Lord. To make the application of our lesson, I want us to treasure the value of the kingdom. You know, when some fortune befalls you, you can hardly wait to share that with someone else, especially those that are dear to you. I got on a plane just a few months ago. I hadn't been seated on that plane very long before a lady next to me pulled out a purse, and out of that purse, she took a picture of her grandchild. And she showed that picture to me. She thought that was the most wonderful grandchild that had ever been born. A total stranger, somebody on an airline, and here she is talking about her grandchild. Wouldn't it be marvelous if all of us had that same kind of concept when it comes to the Lord's church, that we would talk about the kingdom in a very positive way, that we would consider it indeed a treasure that was worthless, that was worth everything, or a pearl whose price could not be told. Wouldn't that be indeed a very great and marvelous concept of the church? Well, I realize tonight I'm talking to the choir. I realize that you all have that attitude about the church. But I think from time to time we all need to be reminded about this pearl of great price and about this treasure that has been hidden in a field, and the effort and the sacrifice that we ought to be willing to make in order that it might be ours, and that we would do so not grumbling and mumbling and complaining, but we would do so with great joy because we had found this which was so valuable indeed. Will you do that this week? Will you maybe find a person who is a friend, maybe even a relative, and to tell them about this great kingdom, this pearl of great price, and this treasure that the value cannot be estimated. Would you do that? Would you find someone? And remember, someone is not in the phone directory. I'm talking about a living human being, and to share with them this great story of the kingdom of God. If you're here tonight and you're not a member of the Lord's church, it's our hope and prayer that you will be obedient to His will. We urge you tonight to respond with a heart that wants to do what is right in your life, repenting of your sins, confessing the sweet name of our Savior, be buried in the Lord's waters of baptism for the forgiveness of sins, to arise to walk a new life, the Christian life. If you're here and you have not been faithful to God, you need the prayers of the brethren, need to be restored. We urge you to come as together we stand and as we sing.